Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Advent is not a season of preparation for Christmas, but for Christ. That is why, as we progress through these 4 weeks, our scripture texts point us, ironically enough, first to Christ's second coming in judgment, before setting the stage for Christ's first coming, that birth in Bethlehem that we celebrate every year. Last week we read from the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel about the end of the world and the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, with the admonition to keep awake. This week we hear from the opening chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now Mark was the first Gospel to be written down, and it has no infancy narrative. Instead, it begins with quoting the prophet Isaiah about preparing the way for God, and then introduces John the Baptizer, the one who will be doing that preparing. We are told that John was baptizing people for the forgiveness of sins, but that the one coming after him will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's where our reading ends. Jesus doesn't even appear. How is this preparing us for Christ? Perhaps it's not so much preparing us for Christ as it is preparing us for how to follow Christ, to keep awake, because baptism is intimately connected to discipleship. Mark, along with Matthew and Luke, record that John proclaimed a baptism of repentance. One way to think of repentance is to turn around. The root of the word repent, meaning in Greek, to turn. We turn around, we return to God. We include this repentance in our own baptismal service. We ask those who will be baptized to repent and to renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. To repent and renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. To repent and renounce all sinful desires that draw us from the love of God. And then we ask whether they will turn to Jesus Christ and accept them as their Savior. Another way to understand repentance is the changing of one's heart. Prophets throughout the Bible have called God's people to repentance by speaking to both their hearts and their minds, imploring them to hear God's call in their lives. Such was the case for the community of Israelites living in exile that 2 Isaiah spoke words of comfort and hope to in today's reading from the book of Isaiah. Did you notice that I said 2 Isaiah? Does that mean anything to you, or did you wonder what that could mean? I'm going to digress a bit to do a little biblical history here because I think it's both interesting and important. The first 39 chapters of the book of the prophet Isaiah, the prophet that scholars call 1st Isaiah, delivered a word of warning to the people of the 8th century BCE living in Jerusalem. 200 years later, 2nd Isaiah picks up with chapter 40. A lot has happened in that time. 1st Isaiah spoke to the threat of the mighty empire of Assyria. But in 2nd Isaiah's time, it was the Babylonian Empire that had destroyed Jerusalem and carried its people off in captivity, what became known as the Babylonian Exile. This disaster, like all disasters, provoked theological reflection and lamentation. Those in exile felt cut off, as far away from God as they were from their homeland. 2nd Isaiah then came along with words of comfort and hope. That hope was not rooted in the people's strength or wits or goodness, but in the faithfulness of God, the God who fed his flock like a shepherd and gathered them in his arms. And so the prophet tells those whose hearts are weary to hear God's call once again, prepare. God is always present, bidden or unbidden. Simply prepare your hearts. Just as the people of Israel long ago were told to clear this path for God, to make a way where there appeared to be no way, we too are told to make a way for God to come into our lives, to remove the obstacles and impediments of our hearts and minds, to tear down rather than to build up, to clear out old animosities and grievances, to cut back the weeds of doubt and greed. Not just to make a nice little bed for the newborn babe, but to open our lives to the transforming grace of the Christ. As one biblical scholar notes, it's much easier to focus on the baby in the manger. We want the good news of Christmas without the challenge, the birth narrative without the prophet, the redemption without the judgment. And so we have this season of Advent to remind us of both, the baby and the prophet, the redemption and the judgment, with the proclamation that it is all the good news of Jesus Christ. As you look around this Advent season, can you hear the voice of the prophet in the midst of the holiday sounds? How are you preparing your heart and your life for Christ once again and always? Will you turn around and answer the shepherd's call? In the coming weeks, my prayer is that the hope that God is ever offering us brings us comfort, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.